The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Weekend Edition. That's right, the special edition of the Trumpet Daily. I'm your host, Stephen Flurry, and we're excited to be broadcasting from our studio here in Edmond, Oklahoma. We broadcast on our radio station here at KPCG in north of Edmond. And then also we broadcast on Sunday mornings at KFNX in Phoenix, Arizona. So right there in the heart of Phoenix. And we're very, very happy, as I say, to bring you this program every weekend. We're also, if you're interested, if you like the content discussed on today's show, well, then you should join us for our weekday edition as well. Every day we come to you live Monday through Friday. 9 a.m. on the west coast of the United States, 11 a.m. here in the Oklahoma time zone or the Central Standard Time Zone, and then noon on the east coast. And you can get to that live stream at CRN Digital Talk Radio Network. That's CRN Digital Talk Radio. That's the audio broadcast. And then, of course, the live video broadcast. You can get to that at our website, thetrumpet.com. Just type in thetrumpet.com. And if you want to go straight to the page where we have all of our podcasts posted or where we carry the live stream at those times I just gave to you, just go to thetrumpet.com/live and you can watch the program every day. It's an hour-long program. We've been doing it now for more than 6 years. So we have a small, very loyal, dedicated following for sure. And we'd love to add you to the growing list of listeners, viewers, faithful co-workers supporting God's work in these last days. Well, we just completed another fast-moving week, as I said on the weekend edition last week. We're 1 week closer to what's coming. Bible prophecy is racing along. It's accelerating. We're drawing near to the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. You look at the world, you look at the world in any direction, you see a lot of trouble. You see a lot of problems. Look at the massive recount that's going on in Maricopa County. Even at this moment, I guess they're about to come to the end of examining all of the ballots, and then there's further examinations to come after that. And why? Why are they going through this process? Well, because there was massive fraud, not just in Maricopa County, all over the country. And really, it's pretty obvious. For those that have eyes to see, as the Bible says, it's pretty obvious that there's a lot of people who are willing to do anything to, as my father has written, to return to power. But there is a God, and he, of course, in so many ways, it's a hands-off policy, as he's let human civilization just go its own way for these 6,000 years. But God's purpose, there is a purpose being worked out here below, and he is working through, as I said earlier, a faithful band, a small band of people to continue with his work, to do his work, to shed light on the truth of God in a very dark world, in a very evil world. The audits, as I say, they continue. On Friday, they had, I think, 9 state delegations touring through this Arizona facility, this arena where they're doing the recount. And, of course, they're panicking on the radical left because they don't want the evil, the theft, the dishonesty, the cheating. They don't want any of that exposed. And so they're screaming. They're in full meltdown mode. And then they're saying those involved in the audit, they're all crazy and deranged. And so why would all these delegations, though, want to go to Maricopa County and to see it for themselves? They want to see it because these officials have done a pretty good job of securing that audit. They're doing a pretty good job of moving through it efficiently. They're examining the details. They're looking at the facts. Everyone should want this. This is from the former governor of Missouri, Eric Greitens. I think he wrote this for Newsmax a while back. He said, the media is ignoring the Arizona election audit, but you shouldn't. Why would the media ignore this? And we'll talk today about the media and just all of these anti-Trump false narratives that have been exposed one after another after another. The lies, the propaganda. They don't want this story covered, or if they do, like Rachel Maddow and others on the far left, they ridicule it. They say it's being carried out by a bunch of deranged lunatics that surely can't count audits. That's left for the local officials down at the local level. They would never cheat. They would never do anything deceitful or dishonest. Never. We're living in a world full of dishonesty and deceit. Your Bible says Satan has deceived the whole world. That's a lot of deception. And your Bible also talks about the heart of man. It's deceitful. It's desperately wicked. It's hostile to God's law. That's the truth. There's a lot of evil in the world today. And that's because the god of this world is Satan the devil. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. This article says, well, he says, if the media are ignoring it, you shouldn't. Further on, he writes, according to the state-verified election results, Joe Biden won Arizona by a razor-thin margin, flipping a key state that President Donald Trump secured in 2016 by a decisive margin. If you remember back on election night, November 3rd, I mean, Fox News even, they could not wait to announce Arizona for Joe Biden. They had the election desk, that panel, all of them with full of never-Trumpers, radical leftists, and they called Arizona before the count was even done. The fix was in. We learned that early on election night, and Donald Trump came out pretty quickly to expose it. He was winning in a landslide, and then everything shut down, and they started wheeling in ballots. In the case of Georgia, all these pristine ballots hadn't been folded, photocopied even. Boxfuls of ballots, fake ballots. It says, however, the process has been anything but straightforward when it comes to election officials. They've resisted the effort at every turn, forcing the state Senate to take the matter to court. So the Senate calls for the forensic audit, and the local officials have done everything possible to resist, to fight against this. So the judge had to issue subpoenas for all the information. And this author, again, he's the former governor of Missouri, he says it's almost as if they have something to hide. Why wouldn't they be enjoying this victory lap? They should be celebrating, because keep in mind, we're supposed to believe that Joe Biden won in a landslide. Joe Biden's the most popular president in the history of the United States. That's what we're told. So why wouldn't these election officials, why wouldn't they be just absolutely excited about this recount? This is a perfect opportunity for them to just rub the noses of their political opponents right in it, to make them relive that disastrous night of November 3rd. Yeah, I guess he did win. There's almost 900,000 more people voted in Arizona, which in itself is an incredible amount, an increase from 4 years ago. There's a lot of new ballots that showed up, and that's because, as Joe Biden himself said, even before the election, they had this extensive voter fraud organization set up and in place. Listen to what Joe Biden had to say when he accidentally let the truth out, or he spoke the silent part out loud, clip one.
We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
He got it right there, that's for sure. The most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in history. That's right, cheating on a mass scale. So now you finally come to this Arizona audit, and we have an audit of what happened, unlike anything that's ever been done in the history of politics. Really, the first official audit where everything is examined. It's not just a stack going through a machine and, you know, all of those fake audits that happened a few months ago, but they're actually looking at the evidence. They're actually seeing if these people are real who voted. They're actually looking at the final count to see if it matches up with what the election officials said it was. They're counting it one by one. And so we'll see. The conservative media, as I've said on my weekday program, they're not talking about this near enough. Not like they should be. A few are coming around. Tucker Carlson said something last week when he reported on Kamala Harris's trip to Guatemala, where these protesters in Guatemala, of all places, they told the fake vice president, go home. And then they had another banner that said Trump won. So that was at least that made it to Tucker's show. But for the most part, they're silent. They don't even talk about it. They don't even report on this, on what's happening in Arizona. It's like that author said, or that former governor said. The media, they're not talking about it, but you should be interested in what's happening here. Now, on the other side, the radical left, they're talking about it. But listen to how they're discussing this. This is Rachel Maddow with the former attorney general from back in the early part of the Obama presidency. Listen to this exchange between Rachel Maddow and Eric Holder, clip two.
We're also seeing this, I think, unprecedented interest on the Republican side with having these partisan, third-party sort of sham audits and recounts where they are accessing real ballots and real voting machines and essentially going back over them without any of the controls that are supposed to apply to our real voting system, essentially to cast doubt on the result. Should the Justice Department, whether or not those reforms are passed, should the Justice Department be involved as a sort of backstop trying to stop any of those three components of what we're up against right now?
Yeah, I think the Justice Department has got to be involved and has to be aggressively involved. You know, that fraud that is going on in Arizona now might seem, for whatever reason, as something that Republicans want to support for short-term gain. I don't know exactly what it is, but it clearly will do long-term damage to our democracy if it raises in the minds of people in this country doubts about the effectiveness, the integrity of our electoral system.
He says there, he calls it the fraudit, okay? So it's not legit. But there's Rachel Maddow calling for the DOJ to crush this effort, to stop it, not to help it along or not to make sure that it's official, not to make sure that it's secure, not to make sure they get an accurate count on the examination, but that the DOJ goes in there and just shuts it down. That's what she, and of course, there's Eric Holder for his part saying, yeah, I agree. It should be aggressively involved. And this is Eric Holder, perhaps one of the most corrupt attorney generals in the United States history. Why are they reacting at this level of, well, why is it so hysterical? My father talks about the radical left and a lot of these treasonous acts in the Trumpet magazine. If you aren't a subscriber to our magazine, call our operators today. The toll-free number here in the United States and Canada and the Caribbean as well, it's 1-866-930-3024. You can request our material, and it's all offered without cost or obligation. The Trumpet magazine comes out every single month. Of course, you'll see some of that material or content on our website, thetrumpet.com. But you definitely need to get the trumpet sent to your mailbox. It's free. We pay for all the cost. We do all the preparation. We've got a pretty big staff contributing to this wonderful magazine. Tomorrow's News Today. The trumpet's been around for over three decades. And what an accurate forecast it's been giving our regular readers. It's based on the sure word of Bible prophecy. And we need it to help us understand these events of the world today. So much of it's just chaotic. Look at the new normal that we're living in. And in particular, over the last couple years, as we've seen this virus weaponized, we now know it's man-made. And then along comes the man-made vaccine. And then you've got the fake president, Joe Biden. He's now calling for vaccinating the world. He wants to vaccinate the whole world. Never mind the thousands that have died from the vaccine. Never mind that among young people, there's this condition, myocarditis, enlarged heart. It's caused a death over in Israel. The blood clotting, the brain hemorrhaging. I mean, we're just in the initial stages of this. And we can't even wait to get some of the test results in. There's this push. And what's behind it? And then you add to it the lies. The nonstop lies. For a year, we were told, if you believe that this virus came out of the lab, if it was manipulated with, in science, if you believe any of that, well, then you're a deranged lunatic. You're a conspiracy theorist. You're dangerous. We now know it came from the lab. And there's more. We now know that Dr. Fauci helped to fund it. So here is this virus engineered by American and communist Chinese scientists working together. How about that? You can't make this up. Fauci says, well, we got to work with our scientific friends over in China because that's where the bats are. So, you know, we have no choice. Yeah, but what if they use the funding that you provide them for gain of function? Oh, they're never going to do that. Come on. They would never be dishonest. That's the number one doctor in the United States of America, highest paid federal employee. My father says the situation in America and Britain is worse than most think. The people fighting the Trump administration are not just leftists, not just radical leftists, not just Marxist. They're inspired by the spirit of Satan. There is a real spirit world. Now, we can't just ignore that. Again, what I'm telling you comes straight out of the pages of your Bible. Hopefully you read it. But in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, when it says that Satan is the god of this world, well, I happen to believe it. And then look at the world. Paul said in Galatians 1:4, he said it's the present evil world. These are godly men. This was what God inspired Paul to write 2,000 years ago, the present evil world. Paul said to Timothy that we'd be in dangerous times in these last days. Men would be ever learning but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Evil men would wax worse and worse. That's 2 Timothy chapter 3. Read it. Read it in your own Bible. My father says here, God had to intervene in America and Britain like he intervened in ancient Israel, saving those nations by the hand of an end-time type of King Jeroboam II. Now, that's discussing a prophecy in 2 Kings 14. I'll just leave it to you to look into that later. For now, though, if you don't have our literature, if you don't have our trumpet magazine, call the operators, 1-866-930-3024. Call our operators today. Listen to this last quote here. It says, this is why the radical left is trying to destroy the Trump presidency. He wrote this back in November of 2020. This is why the radical left is trying to destroy the Trump presidency through spying, through the Mueller investigation, through the Ukraine phone call impeachment, through the news media, through coronavirus politics. Yes, indeed, they weaponized it. Of course it was used as a weapon by the CCP, by the media. It leaked from the lab. If you believe that it leaked, then okay, what about after that? China shuts down travel from Wuhan to their other provinces, but then encourages it to Italy and Western Europe and the United States. It was an attack from the very beginning. And the media, for their part, I mean, they were happy to take it and run with it. Oh, you mean could this possibly destroy the Trump economy? Could this possibly bring down Donald Trump? And if you've been, again, listening and watching with eyes open, you've seen everything along the way. If Donald Trump recommended this, hydroxychloroquine, then the media immediately tried to censor him, tried to blot it out, even if it proved to be helpful in eliminating COVID or COVID-19 symptoms. Well, that's just one example of many, but it goes on and says, coronavirus politics, through the national debt, through violence in the cities, through any means possible. See, anything possible to bring him down. Last week, the narrative surrounding the riot at Lafayette Park at the end of May of 2020, the start of June, that was completely destroyed. This, yet another false narrative, fully exposed as a lie from the very beginning. The truth is now out about that false narrative that Donald Trump supposedly pushed back that crowd of protesters. They were just peacefully protesting. And Donald Trump, with law enforcement officials, came out and started to gas these people and started to shoot these people with rubber bullets. And pushing them back for what? Because he wanted to take a picture at St. John's Church across the street from the White House. It was a photo op. That's what we were told by every news outlet. I mean, they were sounding that like an alarm for weeks and months even. It was proof in their eyes that Donald Trump was an authoritarian tyrant and he needs to be removed from the White House. He was abusing his power. He was abusing those poor, poor little protesters. We now know, because of the IG report, because of an IG, an inspector general, who actually worked for Barack Obama. He comes out with the report, and in this report, he quotes from the USPP acting chief of police. This is the Park Police, and they work together with the Secret Service. And they quote this chief of police in the IG report, "I can tell you with 100% certainty that the Secret Service and the Park Police timeline did not change the entire day." It didn't change the entire day. They actually went out to push the rioters back because they had to put up a layer of fencing to protect the president of the United States. This report says here, from May 30th to 31st, at least 49 USPP officers were injured while policing the protests, and federal and private property was vandalized. It says further, the evidence we obtained did not support a finding that the USPP cleared the park to allow the president to survey the damage and walk to St. John's Church. Instead, the evidence we received shows that the USPP cleared the park to allow a contractor to safely install the anti-scale fencing in response to destruction of property and injury to officers. They were trying to get control of a very violent and dangerous situation. And Donald Trump had nothing to do with it. That's what we now know. Almost a year later, well, over a year later, thanks to this IG report from last week, When we come back, we'll continue with some of these news items and also finish with a study into your Bible. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is the Trumpet Daily Weekend Edition. Don't forget to call our lines, our operators, toll-free 1-866-930-3024. You can also send us an email. You can email the show, td@thetrumpet.com. That's td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Flurry's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
If the White House president and his team had to do it all over again, would you have gassed and pummeled protesters to clear the park so the president could have a photo op?
Is on Washington, where peaceful protesters, we have to stress that, peaceful protesters outside the White House were tear gassed and pushed away, so it appears that the president could have a photo op.
And just yesterday, as Alex notes, we saw protesters, peaceful protesters, pushed back so that President Trump could have that photo op in front of St. John's Episcopal Church.
Up next, the president and his photo op.
It turned out they were trying to clear the area so President Trump could get a photo opportunity outside of a church.
And outrage is growing after U.S. Park and Secret Service police fired tear gas and rubber bullets into a crowd of peaceful demonstrators near the White House, clearing the way for the president's photo op.
So while the president clutched a Bible and posed for a photo op outside a church, his Democratic opponent, Joe Biden, was inside.
We carried away protesters using cleared away protesters using tear gas and rubber bullets so that Donald Trump could walk across the street from the White House and stage a photo op in front of a church.
The president forcefully clearing the streets by Lafayette Park, clearing the streets of peaceful protesters.
Where force was used, as I said the day before, to clear the president's way to St. John's Church for that photo op.
The president wanted this photo op, and he wanted to disperse that crowd.
A large crowd of peaceful protesters cleared out of the park across from the White House so the president could go pose for a photo.
Why did the police, why were they ordered to move on protesters at that moment? Obviously, the president wanted a photo op.
And it was President Trump sending a message that he feels good about today, looking at these images. He wanted to show that he could move Americans physically out of the way to do this photo op.
Just one day after peaceful protesters were gassed so he could stage a photo op in front of St. John's Church.
Any circumstance to violate the constitutional rights of their fellow citizens, much less to provide a bizarre photo op for the elected commander-in-chief.
There's your propaganda media last year at this time. And now we learn that another anti-Trump media narrative is exposed as a fable. A lot of them even use the same words and phrasing. I mean, it's like they read from the same talking points every morning when they show up for work. This is the narrative. Protesters peaceful, peaceful, peaceful. Trump and law enforcement, evil, evil, evil. And then, of course, it flips when you get to January 6th. protesters, evil, dangerous, worse than Pearl Harbor, worse than 9/11, law enforcement, righteous, saints. They protected Nancy Pelosi and AOC. And then they lie about that too. And that narrative is being exposed as a lie. Nobody died as a result of gun violence except Ashley Babbitt. Nobody. And you have Devin Nunes, by the way. He's calling for, I think it's something like 14,000 hours of footage. Why won't they release it? Here the Democrats wanted this commission because they wanted to investigate it, but only in their special way. If you really want to get to the truth, we'll release all the footage and let's see. Let's see how many dangerous rioters there were and how many there were that were just nonchalantly walking through the halls of Congress, taking selfies, looking at some of the artwork, the statues. I'm not saying there was no vandalism on that day, but who are the chief culprits? Which ones were causing the violence? We're breaking windows and such. And just compare it to any of those riots you saw last summer. And all those talking heads were justifying it, saying that it's mostly peaceful, even as buildings were burning down in the background. So this IG report says, officers, this is the Lafayette Park riot from last summer. Keep in mind, this is just across the street from the White House. You had one rioter tried to scale the fence of the White House grounds. No wonder they were pushing it back to put up more fencing. I mean, the President of the United States is in there. And they had to take him down to the underground bunker, something he didn't even want to do. So you have all this rioting going on around the White House, all across the District of Columbia. And then the president wants to make an appearance publicly in front of the cameras across the street in a church that they tried to burn down. He wanted to send a message to ordinary Americans that, look, the president's fine, we'll get through this and so on. And he was mocked and ridiculed. And then they lied and they lied and they repeated the lie over and again that he was doing this for a photo op. He was abusing these peaceful protesters. He was shooting them. He was pouring tear gas on them. None of that happened. There was some shoving here and there. You push the crowd back. Well, they're dangerous. The IG report says officers were assaulted with projectiles, such as bottles and bricks, and a brick struck a USPP officer in the head, resulting in the officer's hospitalization. It says USPP officers reported that some protesters threw projectiles such as bricks, rocks, caustic liquids, frozen water bottles, glass bottles, lit flares, rental scooters, and fireworks at law enforcement officials. These so-called poor protesters were assaulting the park police. Now, we learned from January 6th that you're not supposed to do that, right? You're not supposed to shove the police. You're not supposed to throw objects at a policeman's head. And well, you shouldn't. But they made stuff up for that as well, to suit the narrative. Officer Sicknick, he was beaten in the head with a fire extinguisher. He was beaten to death by a Trump supporter. They made a shrine for Sicknick. Now, the man died a day later from a stroke. And it's sad that he died. It happens every day. Tens of thousands of people. He didn't die because of a Trump protester. And his family has pointed that out. And you still have people in the propaganda media perpetuating the lie. No wonder. No wonder Brian Stelter goes on C-SPAN and they open it up to ordinary Americans and the abuse that he takes. They've just had enough of the propaganda media. All of these radical Democrats that pretend like they're these objective reporters, it's embarrassing and shameful. As I say, Stelter went on one of the C-SPAN shows last week and listened to this short montage of some of the callers that called in. This is clip 7.
Yes, I'd like to ask Brian to, on national television, admit he and his network are a bunch of liars about Donald Trump.
This is Kevin in Princeton, Indiana. Good morning.
Yeah, Mr. Stelter is the biggest minister of misinformation I have ever heard, and I'm a news junkie. He made the statement just a few minutes ago that he is all the stories are always evolving. Yeah, his stories absolutely evolve.
Brian Stelter.
Thank you for the feedback. I appreciate it.
Savannah, Georgia. Rick, good morning. You're next.
Yes, I was just wondering if you still feel like Michael Avenatti is the greatest thing in the world and should run for president of the United States.
That's
funny. My suggestion is whatever CNN says, do the opposite and you'll be fine.
Aurora, Indiana, this is Robert. Good morning. You're on with Brian Stelter.
You know, CNN is just something that's, it's a joke. It's a joke.
Right.
This guy tells more lies, and Fox gives more news than CNN does in our...
What lie? What lie did I tell?
2 years. It's nothing but lies.
It's pretty brutal. That's just average Americans, ordinary Americans, calling up saying, you're lying to us. I guess you have to give him some credit for subjecting himself to that. Do people trust these media mouthpieces today? Think about how it's changed even since a period like World War II and the kind of coverage that you would get, and just that it would be understood that these journalists would really be proud to be Americans first. And they're not proud these days. You have journalists going up saying, I saw a U.S. flag. It's scary. It's disturbing. It's disturbing to see an American flag. These radicals, they're in the minority, but boy, they have power. They make a lot of noise. And they all think the same way. Like I say, they use some of the same phraseology. And then the narrative, it explodes in their faces. Everyone knows they're lying. And what do? They double down. Just like Joe Scarborough did last week when this narrative about the photo op was exposed as a lie by a former Obama guy in a report that went on for 35, 40 pages, interview after interview after interview. No, we were trying to push back these violent rioters to protect the White House, to protect the President of the United States. That's important. Exposed as a lie. Look at the lie about the Wuhan lab. That has been exposed as well. All of the funding that came from Fauci, that came from the government of the United States, Barack Obama, just a few days before leaving office. You might remember the timeline if you've read anything into this. In 2014, it was the Obama people that said, hey, gain-of-function research, no way. We're going to ban that. It's too dangerous. We don't want you getting in there and manipulating a virus, making it more deadly, making it more transmissible, making it something that's even more infectious. Why would we do something like that? Well, Fauci and company believe that you should do that so that you can then make the super vaccine. Create the disease, then create the vaccine, and everyone's happy. Especially Big Pharma, as they line their pockets with tens of billions of dollars. So Obama bans it in 2014, and it continued, that gain-of-function research. It continued anyway because of a few technicalities, but I'll leave that aside for a moment. Then, in 2017, just 11 days before he leaves office, what does he do? Well, he lifts the ban. He lifts the ban on gain-of-function research. And did you know that a day or two later, Dr. Anthony Fauci the most prominent medical official in the United States, perhaps the world, he said this a day or two after Obama lifted that ban, clip six.
As you heard from the introduction, that I have been around for a while and have had the opportunity and the privilege and the pleasure of serving in five administrations, I thought I would bring that perspective to the topic today, is the issue of pandemic preparedness. And if there's one message that I want to leave with you today based on my experience, and you'll see that in a moment, is that there is no question that there will be a challenge the coming administration in the arena of infectious diseases, both chronic infectious diseases in the sense of already ongoing disease, and we have certainly a large burden of that, but also there will be a surprise outbreak.
A surprise, predicting a surprise pandemic in the next administration. Keep in mind, Obama lifted gain of function restrictions 11 days before leaving office. Donald Trump comes into office on January the 20th. And in between that, the lifting of the ban and Trump's inauguration, you have Dr. Anthony Fauci predicting a surprise pandemic. And then in the year that Donald Trump is about to get reelected to win in a landslide, the economy's booming, everything's just humming along. Would you believe it? Here comes the surprise pandemic, the one that Anthony Fauci predicted. We're going to find out more, just like we did about the photo op narrative, just like we have about so many other false narratives. More will be revealed. And we could point you to some scriptures, too, that talk about God revealing this corruption. And that's what it is. It's like my father said in that November-December 2020 trumpet. The situation in America and Britain is worse than most think. It's worse. Why is it so bad? Why is it getting worse? Your Bible has a lot to say about that. But obviously, just in looking at this situation, there's something going on here. There's a sickness, as the prophet Isaiah says in chapter 1. You look at what's happening in the United States. There's something wrong with us. There's something wrong with human nature. There's something wrong with how we're living. And look, this isn't just limited to the politicians or to the radical left or to executives in the news media industry. There's something wrong with us, and your Bible says so. Jeremiah 17, Romans 8, 7. There's something wrong with our relationship to the truth. If we had the truth, if we demanded the truth from ourselves and from our leaders, don't you think we could maybe have a secure border? It would be easy to see through the media lies. If we just had the truth, it'd be easy to solve a pandemic. Well, maybe not easy, but we're certainly not looking to God's laws with respect to health and fitness and vitality and even quarantine. We're just making things up as we go. And look at what it's doing to us. We're going to see more and more as we proceed week to week. 1 week closer, as I've said the last couple of weekend edition programs, we're going to see more and more just how bad this truth problem is in the world today, in our nations today, among leaders, the media. We're gonna see that sins, like not telling the truth, those kinds of sins destroy nations. That's been history, our history. But more than that, the Bible tells us where this is leading. There are so many problems, and a lot of it does get back to dishonesty, deceit, lying, stealing, cheating. We expose a fair bit of this on our weekly program or our weekday program as well. Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. in the Central Time Zone, 9 a.m. out on the West Coast, and noon on the East Coast. thetrumpet.com/live. I mentioned Isaiah 1 and the sickness that it talks about there. Isaiah 21 speaks of a watchman work, you know, someone who sees the oncoming danger and who sounds the alarm. Now, that's the kind of commentator, that's the kind of talking head that we ought to be seeking. You know, someone that will, even if it's an uncomfortable truth, someone that will tell us the truth. God wants to do that, but most don't have ears to hear or eyes to see. They refuse. They turn away from the truth. What does it say over in 2 Timothy? Paul told Timothy, look, in the last days, this is the way it's going to be. This is the challenge that it's going to be for you as a minister, as a servant of God. You're going to be going up against a lot. This is 2 Timothy chapter 4. And notice this. It says, "For the time," this is verse 3, "for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." They don't want the truth. They would prefer lies. Isaiah 30 says they want smooth things. That's what we wanted in the days leading up to the grave danger we were facing back in the 1930s and 40s. We just wanted people like Neville Chamberlain to come along and say, "Hey, everything's going to be fine. I've had this meeting with Adolf Hitler, and it was superbly peaceful. It just was wonderful. The dialogue that the two of us had, and we've got peace, and I've got a piece of paper to show it." There weren't that many people willing to tell the truth at that time. Winston Churchill stood alone, even in the case of the United States. I mean, we drug our feet and actually had to be bombed into the war. And that came sometime later. What is it about human nature? What is wrong with us? What is wrong with the human heart? Why are we so susceptible to believing lies and deceit, flattery? Well, here in Isaiah 21, it talks about, again, a watchman who is faithful. Faithful, it says in verse 5, "Prepare the table, watch in the watchtower, eat, drink, arise, you princes, and anoint the shield." So here the feasting is going on, there's banquets and so on, but God says, you know, you better heed what the watchman says when danger approaches. Verse 6, it says, "For thus has the Eternal said unto me, Go, set a watchman, and let him declare what he sees. Let the watchman speak, and you declare what you see." That's someone who's taking his job seriously. He's observing, and he's trying to give an accurate report. Quite unlike the propagandists that we see all over the place, particularly in news media. Verse 7, it says, "And he saw a chariot with a couple of horsemen, a chariot of asses and a chariot of camels, and he hearkened diligently with much heed." Verse 8, "And he cried, A lion, my lord, I stand continually upon the watchtower in the daytime, and I am set in my ward whole nights." He's watching day and night. He cries out like a lion roaring. You can see more on that in Amos chapter 3, verse 9 here. It says, "And behold, here comes a chariot of men and a couple of horsemen. And he answered and said, Babylon is fallen. And all the graven images of her gods he has broken unto the ground." And then verse 10, "O my threshing and the corn on my floor." Verse 11 says, "An oracle on Idumea, a voice calls out of Seir to me. How far has the night gone, watchman? How far has the night gone?" Notice verse 12, Moffat translation says, The watchman answers, morning comes, morning and night. Would you know more? Come back to me again. So here's a watchman who sees far into the distance, far into the future. He thoroughly understands what he sees. He's giving an accurate forecast to those who will listen. He's alert. He's attentive. You can read more. I don't have as much time left to go through verses in Ezekiel 33, but it speaks there of a watchman who sees the sword and proclaims that warning message. Ezekiel 33, I mean, that's a sobering chapter that discusses the death of nations and a faithful watchman work that many people like to listen to. You can see that at the end of Ezekiel 33. But they won't heed the warning. They like the words. They like listening. It's like a lovely song, it says there in that prophecy. But when it comes down to it, they won't act. They won't do anything with the knowledge. And that chapter concludes by saying, when everything comes crashing down, then they're going to know. They're going to know that there was a prophet among them. Well, you can get to our Ezekiel booklet, our Isaiah booklet. Both of them are offered free of charge, without cost, without obligation. Call our operators, 1-866-930-3024. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Don't forget about our daytime or our weekday broadcast every day at thetrumpet.com/live. We thank you for joining us on this weekend edition of the Trumpet Daily, and we'll see you next time.
The Trumpet Daily.